Okay, we'll take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's really praying about the message that God would want for Haven Baptist Church to have this evening. And I believe he gave me something for our church tonight. I'm going to get to the text passage in just a moment. I would like to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us. You have always been faithful, and we need your help. And we know that you're all wise, you're powerful, and that you are long-suffering. And I would ask, Lord, that you would work in our midst, work in our hearts as individuals, work in our families, and, Lord, strengthen our church as well. Pray that you be glorified through each of us, and pray that you would have your perfect will through this message, Lord, your word, not my message, your word, that it would help. And I thank you for what you will do. We just pray. Again, you'll get the glory in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Ruling Your Emotions. Ruling Your Emotions. You say, well, I don't need that. Oh, yeah. Everybody has emotions. We're emotional creatures. We feel deeply about many matters, right? Sports, you know, my team. Like, you don't even play on the team, but it's your team, right? We feel deeply about politics. You know anybody like that? Food. Oh, yeah. You know, we all have our opinions on what's the best and the best way to have it and all of that and the best restaurants to go to. And, you know, and you would get what? You know, and we look down on someone else because they don't like what we have. So we have deep emotions about all sorts. We have deep emotions about our finances, right? You get this bill in the mail, it's like, all sorts of things come into your heart. People have, again, emotions about their music, about their relationships, in every way. Even in the church realm, we have strong feelings about things. We have strong feelings about our doctrine, standards, worship styles, and even church leaders. Really, emotions are part of our daily life. And they are also part of our church life. And I want to be frank here with the turmoil that has come to our church recently. I believe there's a lot of raw emotions right now. And so you know that's the case. And let me say this, that's understandable. We're emotional creatures. We're going to have emotions. But we must all deal with our emotions biblically. It's when we veer from the scriptures that we get ourselves into trouble and cause problems. So we got to recognize that there are two types of emotions. There's harmful ones and there's healthy ones. Emotions are not just some impulses that you have no ability to alter or to control. I mean, you can alter what happens. You can't always change or control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to those things. And the truth is that you'll either rule your emotions or you'll be ruled by them. And too often, people are ruled by their emotions. By definition, I want you to think with me tonight. I'm going to get to the message. I'm building up to it, okay? By definition, emotions are associated with our thoughts. You can't separate thoughts and emotions. The word emotion is defined by Webster as this. Literally, a moving of the mind or soul. Hence, any agitation of mind or excitement of sensibility. So it's talking about a moving of the mind. So when a situation stirs your emotions, your mind will be affected. It's just what happens. And how we respond to that stirring is very crucial. If we control our thoughts, we control our emotions. Do you know anybody that just never controls their emotions? Maybe you have a hard time with them sometimes. And just as emotions can affect our thoughts, so our thoughts also can affect our emotions. They're reciprocal. They feed off of each other. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So in other words, if you think sad thoughts, you're going to be sad. If you think angry thoughts, you're going to tend to get angry and fly off the handle. Your emotions and your thoughts are inseparable. And eventually, though, let me say this. Out-of-control emotions are going to lead to out-of-control thoughts. And when you have out-of-control thoughts, they will lead to out-of-control actions. And you'll be doing and saying things that, in hindsight, you'd say, "What on earth did I do that for? Why did I say that?" And we get ourselves in a lot of trouble because we let our emotions take over instead of controlling the emotions. Even the lost world realizes that emotions need to be managed. Unfortunately, though, the world depends on methods that have only limited, at best, effectiveness. I mean, people rely on medication to handle their emotions. People rely on meditation. You know, say, "Well, I meditate in the Bible." That's not the meditation that they're talking about. They're talking about just and emptying yourself. And I was reading one thing that said that meditation is to just, you know, different. There's all sorts of different kinds of meditation. But one of them was you just kind of let thoughts pass through your mind without judging them. Let me tell you, that's dangerous. Because as a Christian, we're supposed to judge every single thought that we have by the Word of God. We are supposed to decide if it's right or wrong based on Scripture, not just let things float through my mind in this wicked, evil thought. "Well, I'm not going to say it's wicked and evil. It's just going to stay there and hover a little bit." No. Meditation is not the answer, I'm telling you. So people rely on meditation, deep breathing exercises. Listen, you can take some deep breathing things, and if that helps you, great. But that's not going to fix your problem. People need pep talks. You know, I've got cough drops, you know, and there's a little pep talk on every one of my cough drops, right? "Don't wait to get started." What does that mean? Right, we need pep talks. And, of course, therapy sessions. I need therapy. Yeah, you really, yeah. Can I suggest a better way? A better way to get a hold of our emotions? How about this? Focus on the Lord. Focus on God. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things where? Above. And not on things on the earth. If we're all focused on the Lord, as we should, things are going to go smoothly. We'll get along with each other. We'll be heading in the same direction. That's what God wants for us. Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. And this is, again, still introduction. I'm getting there. I'm getting real close. Bear with me. I want to give you a couple things that will help you keep your eyes on the Lord. First of all, turn on some good spiritual music. Follow Paul's admonition. He said, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Have a good song. It will help you through a tough time. I turn to good, godly music quite often. In fact, this morning I had some music on and playing it in the kitchen. My daughter came out and said, "Oh, you're listening to music." And I don't always just listen to it right there that early. And she said, She was wondering why I had the music on. Can I tell you why? I didn't even answer. Why? I could tell she was fake. You know why? Because I needed to deal with something. Because, you know, after prayer meeting, I had 4 hours worth of meetings. I didn't get to bed till after 2. And when I woke up, I'm laying in bed for an hour before I was even supposed to get up. I'm trying to get a little sleep here, and my mind is spinning. I got up, turned on some good, godly music, and I got focused on the Lord. Oh, yeah, I had my devotions, and that's the next thing. Get into the Word of God. Get in the Bible. The Word of God is powerful. It cleanses sinful thoughts. It renews your mind. It strengthens the inner man. It comforts the soul. God's Word. Oh, we need this thing. Amen. We need our Bibles. And when you get into it and really dig into it and seek God, you will find Him. And you will find the help and the strength and the comfort and all that you need. The peace that passes all understanding. We need these things. Let the Scriptures help you with your emotions. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Get that idea, though? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I only have 2 points. We're not counting sub-points tonight. First one's this. Cast down harmful emotions. Or if you don't like that, just say conquer harmful emotions. Harmful emotions tend, you know where they come from? They come from man-centered thoughts. Either you're focused on someone else or you're focused on yourself. When you focus on man, your emotions are probably, oftentimes, let me say it this way, going to go down the wrong way. I want to consider some typical emotions that some in here are feeling right now. And I've got several of them, and I'll try to go quickly through each one of them. Each one could be a sermon. Here's one emotion that you might be feeling tonight. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Have you been hurt by something? Maybe hurt by something that's been said to you. Hurt by something that's been said about you. Perhaps someone you love has been attacked. Maybe unfairly criticized. What hurts most is when someone who we care about lets us down or hurts us in some way. And we say, well, is there any hope? Of course there's hope. Jesus said, and Luke 4:18, if you're hurting, listen to this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God loves us. And if you have a broken heart, Jesus came to heal it. Jesus came to fix it. And there's a lot of people with a lot of hurt, and they carry that hurt for years and years and years, and they never come and completely just give it to God and ask Him for a healing. I'm telling you, the same God that can save your soul can heal your hurt. If you hurt, go to the great physician for healing. I don't know of any hurting soul he's ever turned away. You won't find one in Scripture. So, here's one harmful emotion. I'm hurt. You might be. Deal with it biblically. Secondly, I'm broken. You know, perhaps you're hurt. You're beyond hurt. You're broken. David cried, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That idea of despise is to just disregard. Oh, no, no, no. God does not disregard those people who are broken. He looks down. That gets special attention from our Savior. Not just, yeah, brushed off. If you're broken, God's there for you. Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revive! He can revive us and give us new life. You're feeling dead and just, blah. Let him help you out. Are you broken? Another harmful emotion. I'm confused. Is that you tonight? I'm confused. You say circumstances in life right now just don't seem to make any sense. Well, you know, the scripture talks about this. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side. Guess what? Troubles aren't going away. They're going to surround us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Then he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed. Like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Don't be in despair. Maybe you're saying, where's God? Where's God in my situation? Job went through more heartache than any of us have gone through. And in the midst of his trial, he looked for God and he couldn't see him. All he could see was a circumstance. He's looking. And maybe you're doing the same thing. You're looking, you're like, I don't see him. I don't see him. Let me read to you Job 23, verses 8 through 10. Listen. He says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, God tries us. He refines us. But he never leaves us alone. You say, where's God? I'm confused. Where's God? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's there. Just turn to him. And by the way, to turn to him, you've got to turn from your sin and get over yourself and get over all the things that you want and you think and say, okay, Lord, what do you want and what do you think? Get in agreement with God. There's another one. Maybe some of these other ones have already addressed your need. Or maybe this one. I'm afraid. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. This one I had in my devotions this morning. So I added it to my outline. I'm afraid. Right? You don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know. Okay. Let's look at the scriptures. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Get the idea here. They're out there with Jesus, but then all of a sudden, I mean, things going great. I'm with Jesus. And then there's this huge storm. I mean, you're skipping through life. Oh, this is good. God's good. God's good. He's blessing me. And then all of a sudden this huge storm comes. You're like, whoa, what's going on? And it says that the waves were beaten into the ship, so it was now full. Well, if you fill a boat with water, is going down. And to make matters worse, verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You ever get into trouble? Maybe you're in trouble right now. And you're like, it just seems like God's not there. Where is he? Is he sleeping? I've been talking to him. He doesn't listen. I don't know what's happening. God's not aware of my circumstances. He's quite aware of our circumstances. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then we go feeling sorry for ourselves. Lord, I got this big problem and you don't seem to be doing anything about it and you don't care about me? Remember, our negative feelings come when we're man-centered instead of God-centered. Oh, he cares about us. And in verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, God can make a storm, the biggest storm, come absolutely still in a moment's time. He can fix it all. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He brought peace, but then he addressed their problem. They had fear, and the reason they had fear is because they had no faith. If you're saying, I'm afraid, I don't know what's going to happen, you know what we need in that case? We need some faith. Not in ourselves, but that God's still in control. He's still God. He still has power. He still hears. He still answers prayer. And we can go to this great God that loves us. He's all powerful. We just have to trust him. Don't allow fear to conquer you. And when you do, it leads to the next one. You'll start worrying. Here's another harmful emotion. I'm anxious. Oh, I've seen this. People are uptight. Ooh. They're uptight. They're jittery. They're worried. I get it. We all get that way for different reasons. Some people are more prone to worry than others. I mean, we can be worried about all sorts of things. Well, what happens if inflation continues to rise? I'll tell you what happens if inflation continues to rise. You'll pay more at the store. Well, how will I make ends meet? Trust God. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Stop quoting the Bible to us. I want to feel sorry for myself, right? I want to worry a little bit first. Oh, we're anxious. Will this pandemic ever end? Will we ever reach herd immunity? Here's the one that's pretty pressing to some. Who will be our next pastor? Can I tell you who it is? God knows. That's all that counts. You know, there's no shortage of things to worry about, but anxiety is not an emotion that God wants us to be controlled by. He said in Philippians 4, 6, be careful. And by the way, that's the Greek word there means to be anxious about. So be anxious about nothing or for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We need to take our troubles to the Lord and let him help us. Leave them in his hands. And stop being anxious. He said, be careful for nothing. Common vernacular. Stop worrying. So I can't. God said to do it. He doesn't usually tell us to do things we can't do. So we can stop worrying. And he tells us how to stop worrying. It's right there in Philippians 4, 6. Read it sometime. Read 6, 7, 8. That'll really help you. Memorize those verses. But he said, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Pray. I mean, really pray. Pour your heart out to God. with thanksgiving. Be thankful for what God has done. Be thankful for what God will do. You know, when you're thankful for what God will do, that's showing an expectation. That's faith. Here's another harmful emotion. I'm sad. Anyone here ever get sad? I'm sad. I get sad. Perhaps you're grieving over the loss of someone or something that's dear to your heart. Grief is a natural feeling, but it can also be very destructive if it's not handled properly. Psalm 6, verses 8 and 9, the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Isn't that great that we have psalms like this? The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. I mean, there's a lot of wills in there. God's going to do what he says he's going to do. You get his attention when you've got a broken heart. You get his attention when you're sad. You get his attention when you're crying out for help. Turn to him. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's going to be times, night seasons of weeping. But just like we see outside the windows, it's dark. In the morning, it's going to be light. There's going to be another season. You might be in mourning now. There will be joy. Don't give up hope. Remember what God says. It's coming. Look for it. Faith, expectation. Say, I don't see how it's going to happen. You're anxious again. I'm sad. But sadness, you know, if it comes and goes, that's fine. But sometimes it doesn't go. And here's another harmful emotion, which is actually a little further down the road than being sad. I'm discouraged. I'm discouraged. You know, David, he had good reason to be discouraged in his life. But David learned to take some steps to overcome it. Let me read a verse to you. It says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. You ever feel that way? For all the people spake of stoning him. They were going to kill him. Now, there might be some people who would like to kill you, but these people were actually making plans to do it. That's a little different story, isn't it? And because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, because they had lost him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He took some steps to encourage himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So how did he do that? Well, we have another example right there in Psalm 42, verse 5. He talked to himself. So does that help? Well, if you're telling yourself the right things, it does. He's reminding himself about the Lord. It says in Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? So why are you all discouraged? He's talking to himself. And why art thou disquieted in me? And then he gives a solution. Hope thou in God. You discouraged? Here's the solution. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He says, I know he's going to step in. I know he's going to work. I shall yet praise him. Oh, this is exciting. I don't know why I'm sitting here being discouraged, because I know God hadn't failed me in the past. He's not going to fail me in the future. Oh, Lord, I am sorry. Please. Woo, this is great. You are good. If you don't know how to talk to yourself, just get in the Bible and let it talk to you. Here's another harmful emotion. I'm angry. I don't like what's been said. I don't like what's been done. I don't like how things have been handled. I don't. Can I tell you something? James chapter 1, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You better be very careful with your anger, because that'll lead you to say things in the wrong way You might even be saying the right things, but because you're ticked off, you're going to say them in the wrong way and harm people. You say, how do you know? I've done it. And so have you. Proverbs 21:24. Proud, oh, we don't like that. Yeah, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. I don't want to be known as proud and haughty scorner. Well, if I don't, then I better make sure I'm not going to deal in proud wrath and just fly off the handle and let my wrath be known and thundered abroad through the halls of my house, through the corridors of the church or whatever it is. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. I'd rather be known as the person who's got great understanding. I'm not saying I do have it, but I'd like to be known that way. I can be, and you can be. It's a good trait if you're slow to wrath. Then it says, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In other words, you're just lifting up foolishness. You're going to do something wrong. Listen, there's times to be angry. I mean, we should be angry at sin. However, we must also remember that wrath is a work of the flesh. Read about it in Galatians chapter 5. And you know, it's really easy to justify doing the right thing in the wrong way. All we have to do is call it righteous indignation. Well, we better be very careful, people. If you don't deal with the anger, it comes to the next one. I'm bitter. I'm bitter. There's a lot of bitter people in this world. There's a lot of bitter people in churches across America. This emotion develops when you don't deal with your anger. Hebrews 12:15, familiar. Looking diligently. You got to work hard at this. Look for it in your life. Look for it in your family. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you allow bitterness to take root, it's not only going to hurt you. It will hurt your marriage. It will hurt your children. You will scar them. And it will hurt your church. God's church. Deal with bitterness, or many will be defiled. Here's another one. I'm tired. I'm not just talking physically. I'm just tired. I'm tired of the drama. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. Hey, how about that song? Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? What do you think you should do? Tell it to Jesus. Let me tell you, the scripture says, Psalm 29:11. So you've given us a lot of Bible. Can't beat that. Amen. The Lord, I love this because I came across this the other day in my psalm reading. I have my devotions in the morning. We have a time of family devotions. Then I like to wrap up sometime in the evening with a psalm. And this one was a blessing to me. It says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Get tired. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. You get tired. Tired of everything that's going on. You're tired of fighting the good fight. You're tired of people letting you down. You're tired of everything. I've been through this. I don't want to go through this again. Whatever. I'm tired. Well, join the club. I'm tired. So I'll preach to myself. Isaiah 40. Verse 28 to 31. These are familiar verses, but they're good. And you need to be reminded, just like I do. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You got no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But we're so prone to faint. We'll reap if we faint not. I'm tired. Yeah, he gives power to the faint. That's promise. Lord, strengthen me. I need that. You know, God allows things to come into our life so we would just turn to him, so he can do what he wants to do. He wants to do through you what you can't do through yourself. And yet so many times we're just down here trying to figure it out by ourselves, and we're not turning to the Lord. And he's like, well, you know, I got all this, all these resources that I've got that can help you. Here's another one. I fit it in here. It's kind of an emotion. And you might be having this harmful feeling or whatever. I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious. Okay, let's define suspicion. You tell me, based on this definition from good old Webster's 1828, if it's a good thing or not. The act of suspecting, the imagination, get that? The imagination of the existence of something without proof. Or upon very slight evidence. Or upon no evidence at all. You imagine something about somebody. You think something about somebody. You have a little bit of evidence, and you fill in all the gaps. But you don't know the facts. Or you have no evidence at all, but you just have made this judgment because you know everything. No, you don't. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Suspicion. Yeah, I know what they really meant when they said that. Do you know what they were doing? I heard this. You know, suspicion goes along with another, like the ugly stepsister called gossip, backbiting, slander, suspicion. There's a Bible word phrase here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. You'll notice something. I'll point it out to you in a moment. But as we're reading this list, tell me if these are a bunch of good virtues that we're reading about, okay? For the time will come when, this is verse 3, when they will, where am I? I'm in the wrong, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Good if I turn to the right place. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing what? Nothing. And usually the people who are the most proud and think they know everything know nothing, but doting about questions and strifes. There's you go, the idea of strifes, of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings. Those next two words, evil surmisings. Look it up. You know what the definition of it is? Suspicion. Suspicion. Evil surmisings. Can I tell you it's wrong to suspect something without sufficient proof? And you dream all sorts of things up about people. Wow. That's not handling our emotions biblically. It leads to gossip, strife, divisions. Listen, can I tell you something? If you've got questions about somebody and those questions need to be resolved, go to that person. I just learned yesterday, I found out that I supposedly did something that I did not do. And I also found out that I didn't do something that I actually did do. It's amazing how some people know everything about my life, and they haven't even come to talk to me. Evil surmisings. You say, well, I've got some facts. I know this and this and this. Why don't you come and get the rest of them? I'll be available after the service, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. We need to handle problems biblically. Harmful emotions that are out of control are going to lead to out of control actions. Now, that was my long point. Second point, and it's short, don't worry. Cultivate healthy emotions. So we need to conquer or cast down those harmful emotions, but we need to cultivate some healthy emotions. Healthy emotions, if the harmful ones come from being man-centered, where do you think the helpful ones come from? Being God-centered. So by thinking the right thoughts about and toward God, you can actually have the right emotional responses, okay? I've just got four of them instead of that long list that I had of the other ones. First one is this. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. You know, that's a really good place to start. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Good times, the bad times. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I remember we had our car accident in Zambia. Wife broke her neck. I crushed my chest. I had this massive head injury. I couldn't sleep on my side for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. I think it was more like four. I was in pain. And I remember just laying in bed. I couldn't do much of anything. I was like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And he said, be thankful. And this verse came to mind. In everything, give thanks. So I took out a pen. A piece of paper. I started making a list of all the things I was thankful for through the car accident. I wish I could find that list. I don't know what happened to that thing. But it was good. And it did my soul so much good. It's a healthy emotion. I'm grateful. Because when you're grateful, you can't be complaining at the same time. Here's another one. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I don't see the answer coming. This is impossible. I have no idea how this thing's going to work out. But I hope God. I hope in God. And so I'm going to wait with patience for this thing to come to pass. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. Get that? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Where are we going to get our hope? Get in the book. What I've tried to do for every one of these emotions is to give you a verse or several verses to combat it and to help you, because this is what we've got to do. If you're struggling with something, go in the Bible and find some verses that will help you with it. We don't have to be ruled by our emotions. We should be ruling them. Amen. And that all goes back to our thoughts. And how do we control our thoughts and bring every thought into captivity? Through the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not arguing. They're not strife. They're not letter writing. They're not blasting out emails. They are talking and praying and using the Word of God to help us through things. Do you want a good life? Do you want a good family? Do you want a blessed church? Get in the book and get the emotions under control. I told you in the beginning, emotions are running raw right now, and I understand it. I get it. But don't let them be out of control, because it's going to hurt a whole lot of people. You, your family, and God's church. Here's another one. It's not the power of positive thinking, but I'm happy. Well, but I'm not happy. Well, why don't you get happy? So how do I do that? Well, the scriptures, you know, have something to do with this again. Sorry, got more Bible. You know, you look up the word blessed in the Bible, it refers to happiness, being happy. Matthew 5, 3, 4, and 5. Blessed, that means happy, are the poor in spirit. If I'm down in the dumps, I'm happy. Well, you could be. For theirs is the kingdom of God. God has got something special for me because I'm poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. You say, that's me, I'm mourning. Yep, for they shall be comforted. Why can you be happy? You're mourning, but you can be a happy mourner. Why? Because you know you're going to be comforted because God loves you. Blessed, happy, happy. You sing that song. Happy am I. I'm not singing it. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, God wants us happy. And happiness comes from following his ways. Not following the flesh, not focusing on man. Jesus said in John 13, 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I give you a whole bunch of stuff here tonight. And you can walk out of here as down in the dumps as you came in, because if you don't go home and put this into practice today, now, it's all for naught. And the last one is, I'm trusting. This is a good emotion. The opposite of fear is faith. That's what Jesus said. Why is it you have, why is it that you're afraid? Because you have no fear, right? So, we need to trust him. I'm trusting. I have no idea how this is going to work out. I have a practical definition that I use, I try to operate on concerning faith. Faith is believing God despite the circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances are pretty ugly. But I'm just going to believe God. Now, I don't always, because I don't always have faith, but that's what I need to be doing. I need to get back to that. Let me give you a verse. We discussed Job, didn't we? The guy who went through more than we'll ever go through. Here's what he said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if God killed me, I'm going to trust him. Can't get much worse than just getting killed. No matter what God brings into my life, no matter how hard it is, you don't know how hard it is right now. It's hard. Everyone has problems. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.